Morning. Good singing this morning. Excuse me. Take your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I'm going to look a little more in the life of David this morning. At least as a jumping off point. First Samuel chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 5 through 16. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets of joy, and with tabrets of joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, "Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it." And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for its clarity and the lessons we can learn. As we open your word this morning, we might learn an important lesson from the life of David, and that we might be able to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the key character traits you find in the life of David is the principle of returning good for evil. You'll find that over and over and over again throughout David's life. One of the first definite examples of it is right here, as we just read. Now, David had only ever done good for Saul, hadn't he? He'd come when Saul first started having his bouts of depression, and he'd played the harp and made him feel better. He'd come when Saul and all of Israel was quaking before the giant and took care of the giant. In further battles as you go on here against the Philistines, David again and again and again did nothing but make Saul feel good or make him look good. That was his life. And Saul got wind of what they were saying it right in front of him. Saul's killed thousands, but David, he's killed 10,000s. And it's very possible at this point that Saul knew that Samuel had anointed David. Whether he acknowledged it or whether he knew, we're not quite sure. But shortly after this, it does say that he knew. So at what point he began to know is not quite clear. But at this point, he does say, "What more is there for David but the kingdom itself? What more can he have but my throne?" And so from that day forward, he kept an eye on him and he sought to kill him. And every time he tried to kill him, David's response, you see, over the next 10 chapters, the remainder of Saul's life, he's just constantly trying to kill David. And David's response is always, get out of the way or give honor to him. Not just tell him, hey, I'm sorry, there's a conflict, but actually honor him. When Abishai says, hey, we can get him, David says, don't touch the king's anointed. They cut off the hem of his garment. They take his water jug and his spear, and they stand afar off because they respect the force of his weapons. But they say, Saul, hey, I'm like your son. Now, think for a second. Think of yourself as a soldier facing another soldier, an opposing one, who is out to kill you, and you know it. Are you going to say, hey, Dad, over here, I'm your son. I'm just like one of your kids. No. He was giving honor back to him. David kept this character trait in his life. His responses throughout his life are continually returning good for evil. David's sons, he had several sons turn against him. Several of them doing things worthy. I mean, they were treason. They were worthy of death. And David says, no, you're under house arrest. You're banned from the kingdom. You, I'll just ignore. But he did not return the punishment that they deserved for what they had done. Ahithophel, his most trusted counselor, turned against him and turned much of Israel against him. And David only had good to say about Ahithophel other than to send his friend into to debunk Ahithophel's counsel. Shimei walked along the hill throwing mud and swear words at David and his men. And Joab says, let me go get him. And Abishai says, he's treasonous. Let's take him out. And David says, no. Let him speak. And if we leave him alone, God will take care of the issue. And Shimei he actually had the king's protection through into the early part of Solomon's reign. Solomon continued that. Abiathar the priest, one of David's right-hand men, again, turned against him in one of the rebellions. So again and again and again, people turned against David. People did evil against David. And his response was returning good to them, or simply stepping out of the issue, letting it lie. Kids, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And this is one of the things that makes him such. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 5 with me. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 38 through 48. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans also? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, kids, remember the publicans, that wasn't necessarily a type or a group of people. Like, you have the Israelites, you have the Samaritans, you have the Romans, so forth, you have Americans. The publicans aren't a group of people necessarily. It's a stereotype. It's what you call somebody who does things a certain way. And somebody who was called a publican in these days, they were somebody who, you know, they were a double-talking, underhanded, money-grabbing, deceitful person. Okay? Somebody you didn't want to be around. Somebody who you knew was going to cause you problems, stab you in the back. That was, when you said publican, that's what you were calling somebody. A backstabber, a thief, not necessarily a thief that'll go and break in and steal, but a thief that'll, by their words or actions, you find, you know, a con man. You find out, whoa, wait a minute. How did he end up with that? And so Jesus was saying, hey, the publicans, they can love their friends. How are you any different than the worst person you can think of if all you ever do is love the people who love you, give gifts to the people who give gifts to you? Said the Father, God, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He causes his rain to fall on the unjust as well as the just. It says, be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. God loves us no matter what we do. He doesn't love what we do a lot of times. A lot of times he hates what we do. But he loves us. And he's willing to cleanse us from our sin and draw us back to himself and show us the way of eternal life. Show us the way he wants us to live. There is no greater long-suffering than God himself. And Jesus spent a lot of his time explaining this to us. Now, if we go back to the life of David, the closest recorded time that David had to violating this principle was, let's see if anybody knows. Does anybody know that the closest time he had to saying, hey, he did something to me, I'm going to go get him? Pardon? Not Bathsheba. No. There he was just trying to cover up his sin. Total different. It was earlier in his life than that. Nabal. David had done everything for this guy. Protected him. It meant he'd had his guys go do Nabal's servants' work for free. I mean, they did all kinds of stuff for this guy. And they said, hey, Nabal, can we have, we're passing through, can we have a meal and maybe some supplies for our journey? And Nabal says, who are you? I don't know you. I don't know you anything. David was already anointed king. He already had a small army. What Nabal did was actually wrong. was criminal. So David would have been justified in taking Nabal out, as he proceeded to do. And as he gets his men together, he says, this guy has no right to do this. He's wrong. He's criminal. Let's take him out. He gets his men together, and they're on the road to Nabal's house. And Abigail comes out to meet him. And she says, David, I'm sorry. I didn't see your messengers. I didn't hear anything about it until it was too late. Here's the supplies you asked for. Don't pay any attention to Nabal. He's just like his name. This has always amazed me. His name means man of the devil. And she knew that, and she married him. And she said, he's just like his name. But she comes out, and she's making right what her husband did wrong. And she says something to David here, 1 Samuel chapter 25. In verses 32, and what she says is fairly long, but she's asking David for mercy. She's asking David to withhold his hand. And David's response is what I want you to look at in verses 32 and 33. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand." Again, David had every right to execute justice, to execute the law. And he said, "Your advice is blessed, and you have honored God, because you have reminded me not to do something in vengeance." See, what he was doing was right within the bounds of the law. His attitude, his reasons were all wrong. And this was the closest recorded time that David has to doing something and just lashing out in response, returning evil for evil. And God stops him from it, and he heeds the advice. He doesn't say, "Get out of my way, woman, here I come." He says, "Blessed be God, and blessed be the Lord for sending you today." He listened. He stopped and thought about what he was about to do, and he changed his course of action. Now, if you read through the Psalms, over and over and over again, you see David writing that, you know, God, take care of these issues. You look through the life of David and you see all these people turn against him, and you think, how can David not respond to these guys? You find that he responded in prayer. You read the Psalms. Every time, David didn't go lash out at those people. He went to God and he said, "God, I need some help here. God, I can't do this on my own. I can't deal with these people. These people are destroying me." Other times, they're destroying my family. Other times, they're destroying your people. God, would you please take care of the issue? And guess what? When we do it that way, God helps out. Because God looks at hearts. And through the Holy Spirit, He talks to hearts. And He brings people to Himself. And God is the ultimate judge. He brings justice on those who will not turn from their way. No, we cannot always control our actions. No, we can't always. It doesn't come easy to stop ourselves from saying, "Well, they did it to me, man, I'm going to get them." But God is willing to help. You see that David instilled this principle in Solomon, and Solomon used it in his life and wrote of it through the Proverbs and also other places. But we'll look at a few Proverbs real quick. Kids, I need you to help me out this morning. Let's do a couple sword drills here. Hold your Bibles up. Proverbs 20 and verse 22. Say it with me. Proverbs 20 and verse 22. Go. Amen. Very simple, but also a command. Say not thou, I will recompense evil. I'm going to give it back. That's what recompense means. You did it, and here's what you get because of what you did. But wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Bible's up. Open it to any of the kids today. Proverbs 24 and verse 29. Say it with me. Proverbs 24, verse 29. Go. Again, it's a proverb, but also a simple command. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. Just don't do it. The Bible tells us that it's a choice that we make, isn't it? Sometimes we don't feel like it's a choice because we just do it as a reaction, or an immediate response. But we're still making a split-second choice, aren't we? And the Bible clearly defines it as God sees it as a choice that we're making. And he's going to hold us accountable for that. Bible's up again, Proverbs 13 and verse 3. Proverbs 13, 3. Go. You got it? Amen. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Guess what? Your response affects your life sometimes more than the action against you. And it's worth keeping in mind. It's worth thinking about. It says, he that openeth wide his lips. Now, as you read through Proverbs, the term openeth wide, there's a couple different ways that's said, but it's a way of describing not practicing control, okay? Just open up and let her loose. That's what it's talking about. Openeth wide his lips shall have what, kids? Destruction. Frequently, it'll cause you more problems than the original problem to respond respond with, you know, the eye for the eye, tooth for the tooth. And one more. Bible's up. Proverbs 17, verse 13. Say it with me. Proverbs 17, 13. Go. You got it?
Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house.
All right, now there's something to think about, isn't there? Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. You're thinking, well, he did it. She started it. Why is it my problem? Again, because the problem usually gets worse when we respond with our flesh rather than responding God's way, rather than stopping and making a choice to return good for evil. Now let's bring this up to today, to us. As New Testament Christians, our lives are to be ruled by grace. It is the grace of God that brings us to salvation. The Bible says, by grace are ye saved. We were enemies with God, okay? Our sin holds us apart from God. The things that we're born doing, our natural reactions, our tendency to reward evil for evil, to fight back, to do things that are wrong to somebody else because of a perceived wrong towards us. And all the other sinful things we tend to do, they stand between us and God. And God is a just and holy God. Sin has to be punished. But as we just started memorizing in Isaiah there, Jesus went as a lamb to the slaughter, didn't he? He opened not his mouth when our sin nailed him to the cross. Our sin caused the beating that left him so weak he could barely carry a cross. Our sin forced the crown of thorns on his head. All these things he did for us to pay for our sin, because God is just. Sin brings forth death. And Jesus, God in the flesh, took the price of our sin on himself. And as the sin of humanity was doing all these things to him, as the sin of humanity tried to grab him and throw him over the cliff, as the sin of humanity, people grabbed stones to stone him, he never said a word. The times before the cross, he simply said, my time is not yet come, and walked away. He didn't even say that to them. He said that to his disciples. To those who would attack him, he simply walked away. As he went to the cross, it was because his time had come to pay for our sins. As God is long-suffering to us, if you're his child, if you've taken that salvation and had him wash your sins away, he expects us to share that same grace with others. And it's over and over again throughout the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I'm just going to go through these last few verses real quick here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, that's arguing for arguing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. God has called you to be nice in return to people being mean to you. Now, It's going to show itself in so many ways over your life. But, you know, mostly I'm talking to the kids at the moment. It says here, evil for evil, railing for railing. And we can apply that so many different ways as kids, can't we? Evil for evil. Man, he took my toys. Or he hit me for no reason. Or, you know, she changed where all my stuff is. Or all these kind of mean things. Or railing for railing. You know, they say it takes two to argue, doesn't it? It takes two to fight. How about when somebody comes and says something really nasty to you and they just want to argue, they want to pick a fight. You say, hey, you're looking good today. Or, hey, thanks for making breakfast for me. Or, thanks for washing the dishes. You know, thanks for doing something that they normally do. But, hey, maybe because they normally do it, nobody ever thinks of saying thanks. Just give them a blessing in return. That's what Jesus said to do. And this is in Peter, so it wasn't Jesus talking, but God told Peter to tell you that. That's what we're called to do. And guess what? When we do it, it says you should inherit a blessing. God takes note of that. He marks it down to your life. And oh, he might not give you this great, wonderful thing, but guess what? He'll bless your spirit and he'll give you spiritual growth. And that's actually the greatest blessing you can have, is to grow to be a spiritually mature person. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So not just with your brothers and sisters, not just with your friends, but to everybody. And it says here, Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. He wrote it to them as a church, and he said, see that none render evil for evil. So not only are we to watch ourselves, but when we see it going on, we need to come alongside somebody and say, hey, you know what you just did here? And not pick a fight with them, say, you shouldn't be doing that. But come alongside and say, hey, we're to be returning blessings for railing and good for evil. And ever follow that which is good. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 and verse through 19. Romans 12, 17 through 19. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. This is the way, as said there in Thessalonians, see that none. This is the way to come alongside. You notice how he's speaking with kind words. He's dearly beloved. Hey, I know you're having a hard time with it. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you. You might have to dig pretty deep. But try anyway. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And God will take note, even if nobody else does. And God will help, even when, I don't know if it is in me to be nice right now. But especially if you've been saved, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart, it is in you. You need to, maybe you're not in a position or a place where you can bow, just stop and pray, but you can pray in your heart. Say, God, I'm about to blow a fuse here, but I know you really don't like it when I do. And I know that's not what you do with me. So please help me treat others the way you've treated me. Please help me bless others the way you've blessed me. Please help me show kindness the way you've shown kindness to me. And I can guarantee you, if you can stop yourself long enough to pray that, the thoughts connected with that prayer are enough to put out any fire. Because it causes us to stop and think exactly what Jesus did to pay for my sin. What business do I have getting mad at somebody else's sin? Trying to get back at somebody else's sin. If we can learn this principle, if we can make it a part of our life, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. How? Somebody tell me. By your love one for another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you learn how to be like Jesus. And yeah, we need the Holy Spirit's help. We can't do it on our own. We can't just turn over a new leaf and say, hey, I'm a pretty good person. Because we've all got that sin nature in here. And we need the Lord Jesus to wash that sin away, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us whiter than snow. That, as David told Abigail, God can be blessed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the great kindness that you have shown us in extending salvation. And may we learn to be ruled by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.